Shmuel Beis Perek Aleph opens up. Ve'yacharei Moishol ve'David shal makoyis es Amalek es ha Amalek ve'yeshav David b'tziklag yamim shnayim. Now it's interesting because both Shol and David are facing a war. They're facing a battle. Shol is defeated in battle because it's the end of his kingship. It's the end of his
reign.
And the end of his reign.
Yeah.
And this is the beginning of David's reign. He's now coming into power. That's why David is successful at war. He manages to defeat Amalek. But Shaul, because it's the end of his days, the end of his reign, he is defeated in war. So David comes back from fighting Amalek, and he's sitting in Ziklag, his city, for 2 days. Ve'yabayim ha'shlishi, the third day, ve'yine ish b'amin ha'machan ha'meim Shaul, there is a man coming from Shaul's camp. We've got of kruim v'adam al reisho, his clothes are torn. He's got dirt on his head as a sign of mourning. Ve'yabayil David ve'yabal arz al v'yishtachu. He comes to David and he bows down to him. Baruch atah Adonai Elohim melech haolam shehakol nehyeh bidvarei.
Amen.
Let's see what...
Is he looking for some reward? Why does he come to David?
It's a good question. It's not clear that he's looking for a reward. It's just since David was the next one that was naturally going to take in charge.
Give the information to him, whatever.
Vayomer David, Eimi zetove. David asks this man, where are you coming from? Vayomer elo mimachane Yisrael nimlatati. I managed to run away from the Jewish camp. Vayomer elo David, Me'aya Dover, Hogid Noli, tell me what happened. David is desperate for news. Vayomer, Asher Nasam bin Milchama. See, he's kind of breaking the news to him slowly, slowly. The Ralbag explains that a person who has very bad news to give, you should try to break it slowly so he doesn't shock the person who's receiving it. He gives an analogy of a person who's sick. If someone knows that his relative is sick and he's on his deathbed, it's not as shocking a news as someone who chas v'shalom has a sudden death. That's much more disturbing. That can shock a person. So since the messenger does not want to shock David, he's breaking him the news one step at a time. So he begins off by saying, first what happened was that the Jewish camp, the Jewish soldiers started running away. That was the first stage of defeat. First, they started running away. They started retreating. After that, the next stage was that many of them were killed by the police team. And at last, he's breaking in the final step of the bad news that Shaul and Yonasan are among them. David turns to this messenger and he asks him, how are you certain that Shaul and Yonasan actually passed away? The Nara tells David, Nikra nikresi baragil boya, v'ini Shaul nishan al chanisai. I was called to help Shaul, and I find Shaul leaning on his spear. That was when he tried to commit suicide. V'ini arechev uvali haparashim idbiku. The rechev, meaning the chariots of the plishtim, and the horsemen are catching up to him. He turns back and he sees me. He calls to me and he says, yes, I'm to your service, my king. He asks me who I am. He tells him, I am from Amalek. He turns to me and he says, please, I want you to finish off the job. I tried to commit suicide. It wasn't fully successful. I want you to finish me off Waki achazoni hashavetz. The pasuk means that when a person is chas v'shalom very close to death, his whole body cringes, and it's called this sickness called shavetz. When a person chas v'shalom has a stroke in Hebrew, it's called shavetz. That's the same language. That's the simple pshat. But there's another pshat over here that the shavetz is actually referring to the horsemen. The horsemen used to dress in very special armor. Shavetz is some kind of chest armor to protect themselves because they didn't want to. Sorry?
Chainmail. No, that was maybe later. I don't
Chainmail?
Yeah, they used to have little links and they used to. It was like chained.
Mm. On their chest?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That was one type, or else they wore a plate or something.
Right. Some kind of plate, or yeah. Or that kind of armor to protect their body. So that's what Shaul is referring to. He's saying these horsemen who are known to wear this kind of armor are catching up to me. I'm afraid they're gonna kill me. I want you to do it before they get to me. And another shot that the Radak brings down is that what it's actually referring to is to the ksoinis v'tashbeitz. This is the clothes, the dress of the Kohanim. And it's referring to Noivyar Kohanim, going back many years before, when David, not many years, but some years, when David is on the run, and the first place he goes to is Noivyar Kohanim, the city of Kohanim, the city of priests. They don't know yet that David is running away from Shaul. It wasn't famous news at that time. So he goes over to the city, he asks them for bread and water, for a place to sleep. And in fact, they give it to him because they think he tells them he's a messenger from Shaul. He's on a secret mission, that's why he's traveling alone. And when Shaul found out about it through Doeg HaYadoimi, one of his servants told him that Noiv, the city of Kohanim, gave assistance to David. He told Doeg HaYadoimi to, since they're rebels against the king, they're helping the king's enemy, they're helping Shaul's enemy, which is David, they're rebelling against the king, and they deserve the punishment of death. And therefore, he goes ahead, and Doeg HaYadoimi kills out the whole city. Now, as a punishment for that, Shaul is now realizing that he's about to be killed because he did the same thing to the city of Noiv, Ir Kayanim. That's what he's referring to in this pasuk, Kechazani Shavetz. Tashbeitz is referring to the Kohanim, who normally wear a tashbeitz. That's the one of the special dress of the Kohanim. Kicholod nafshibi. As long as I'm still alive, I want to make sure that you're going to be the one to kill me and not the plishtim. And don't worry about murdering the king because you're killing a dead man already. There's nothing I can do that's gonna keep me alive. So you're just killing a dead man. There's nothing wrong that you're doing by making sure that I die. Now this messenger turns to David and says that I did as he told me to. I knew that he's not gonna live much longer. And that way, one of the benefits I got was, instead of letting him fall into the hands of the police team, I myself managed to collect this jewelry that he had on his head. I took this, either some kind of tiara or some kind of jewelry that was on his head. He had some other piece of jewelry on some either bracelet on his arm, and I brought it to you, to David. Now, the simple shot, it means that it's actually jewelry, but the Ma'ari Krah asks, why would a king go out to war wearing jewelry? It's not a place to go out to war. You want to wear armor, you can wear armor, but wear jewelry, what's the point of wearing jewelry? So he says what it's actually referring to is tefillin she bazraya v'tefillin she al harash. It's referring to tefillin that you wear on the arm. That's what he's referring to, the bracelet that you wrap around your arm. And Nezer al Reishoy is referring to tefillin that you wear on your head. That's what it's actually referring to. So I brought Shaul's personal tefillin. Tefillin are known to be a protection over a person. If a person wears them with the right intentions, it can be a very powerful and potent protection. That's what Shaul was hoping to gain by wearing them. Unfortunately, because of his sins, he did not merit to live and win the war. And now this messenger is bringing the personal tefillin of Shaul all the way to David. Vayechazik David bivgadav. David holds on to his clothes. Vayikraim, he makes a tear. Vagam kol anashim asher itay. All the men that are with him realize that he's mourning over Shaul, the death of Shaul, and they themselves make a tear as well as a sign of mourning. Vayispedu vayivku vayetzuma ad arev. They cry bitter tears. They begin fasting until the night. Al Shaul val Yohanan benoi. Over Shaul and his son Yohanan, v'alam Hashem al Beis Yisrael kinaflu b'charev, and also over the rest of the Jewish people who were defeated in war. Again, this is part of their punishment because they did not completely kill out Amalek like they were told to, and their punishment of the Jewish people was to be defeated in war. Now David and his men are mourning over them. So he asks him again, where are you from? I am an Amaleki ger. I'm a convert from Amalek. I love David. David asks him, how dare you? How don't you have any fear to send your hand and harm in any way someone who was anointed by Hashem himself? Even though he asks you to, and he was clearly going to die no matter what, there you're still not allowed to listen to Shaul and kill him. Why? Because there's a simple rule, divya rav, divya talmid, divya mishoimin. If you have the words of the teacher and the words of the student, who would you listen to? Do you listen to the master, to the teacher, or to the student? Clearly, obviously, you would listen to the master, the teacher, right? He has a higher level of wisdom. So if Hashem tells you, you're not allowed to kill a king no matter what, I don't care that Shaul told you and asked you to kill him, you're still not allowed to do that. So he's telling this messenger that he did the wrong thing. Veikar David lecht ba'anari. David turns to one of his men. Veimar gasp gaboy. I want you to go ahead and revenge the death of Shaul. This man was not allowed to kill him, and he did it anyway. Veikar v'yomlis. And this man, in fact, went ahead and killed him for killing Shaul. Veimar el of David. Damchal reshecha. David tells him, it's your fault that that you're being punished this way. Normally, I would need some kind of proof that you actually committed a sin. But you yourself admitted to me and told me exactly what you did. Therefore, you deserve to be punished that way.
Are you allowed to convict yourself? The Bezdin?
You're right. Ladina, in Basin, it's more problematic. But the Malbim brings down over here that the question is, who was he? If he was really from Amalek, then the halacha is that someone who's not Jewish, you can kill him without any asra, without any warning.
But isn't he said he converted, though, no?
Yeah.
David's a king.
He says a couple of something before he says gear.
You're right. So depending on what it is, if he in fact is not Jewish, then the answer is very simple. You're allowed to kill a person even if, meaning you're allowed to punish him even if there are no witnesses that he was warned, and no witnesses that he did anything wrong. you're allowed to, a person is allowed to convict himself. And even if you killed someone who was about to die anyway, which normally is not a case where you get punished for, but in this case you do because he was not Jewish. However, if he was a convert, like the Pasuk says, meaning we're not sure exactly what he is. So if he's a convert, then David is telling him that he's Nerag Medina Malchus. He's being punished because he rebelled against the king.
King, all right.
And that's what he's being punished for.
David acting as a king when he does this? Because doesn't a king have the authority to do this?
Yeah. The well, David was the only authority at the time. There was no other authority. Shmuel passed away before.
If he has the status of king, then I think, am I wrong? Doesn't he have the authority to kill someone without at his own discretion, he can just decide he's going
to
do it.
Right, but he's got to have a reason. So the reason is because he rebelled against Shaul, against the previous king. That's his reason.
No, but this is what... David killed many different... In the previous pages, he will kill many people. This is not a question. But in this case, he killed him because he raised his hand against Kim. This is not because he killed Amalek, but because he... King.
Right, exactly.
But it looks he killed King only because of his kindness. It's not because he was...
It's true. It's true. He was trying...
He did not kill him. It was more right thing to do. If people... Somebody is dying. He is suffering. He's really going to die. He asked him, please help me to die. And this is what he did. But... What this guy should do? To hear what the king says? Or... Because he was killed not... Because he is Amalek, it's clear. I kill him, doesn't make a difference. You kill or not. But he killed because he is... are not scared to raise your hand and to kill king. But this is what is very confusing. It's kind of very cruel actions for David. Maybe this is some explanation why he kills this boy. But he is called in Russian. He is kind of boy. He's not even man.
Right. You're right. It's not clear exactly who he is.
Nope.
The Malbim brings down a pshat that this man was actually Doeg HaYadomi himself. The man who went ahead and killed out the whole city of Noiv, the city of Koyanim. That's who this person was. And the reason why David is now punishing him is because he was the one who killed out the whole city. And already from then he's Chayav Misa.
No, but this is... it's not from the story,
right.
but behind the story there is some explanation why... He deserves
to,
but in this case, not clear was this starting small tools, starting with it's Amalek came to David and told him story and question why he came to David, what is purpose to come.
Well, David was the only living authority at the time.
No, but he came and say, I am Amalek. Actually, any Amalek knew Jew should kill him. Why you need to come to say, I am Amalek? This is... I do not see why reason to come to David. He can come anywhere. This purpose to escape, not to come to his death. This means he tried to come to say, kill me.
Right, he thought he did the right thing. That's what he thought.
No, but there's very many differences, not clear what is the logic of this action.
I think his father was already living as a ger among, not as a ger, but living among the Jews, and he's the son of a Toshav, I guess you'd call it. A son of a resident among the Jews. So the Jewish people are letting the father, knowing he's unmarried, live with him, and then the son as well. He didn't feel any danger by going to David. Maybe he felt he would have been appreciated.
What, this is
bringing
not
the news.
Absolutely. You can expect him appreciate. I help somebody who help him die. I make something good for you. But after that, if you receive only death,
he was just bringing news. I think that's the whole purpose.
I still think he must have come for.
No, let's go
look for some kind of reward of some. It doesn't sound like you go to
right.
someone and give them the news.
Right.
I don't know.
I didn't see anywhere that he was actually expecting some kind of reward.
Why would he come to Dovid to give him, you know, that Shaul is dead?
But maybe this is not. Nobody said David did something right. Maybe he did something wrong.
Even if he did something right, is he bragging?
It doesn't sound like he's trying to brag, but I'm saying there are Balak points out also that the reason why David punished him was because he didn't want people to hear and know. That it's just a simple thing to go ahead and kill a king, right? It's a very serious and severe act. You don't just go ahead and do it lightly.
David's son tried to do it afterwards.
Right. We're going to get to that. We'll see, you know, what exactly happened over there.
Or even later, when David is dying, he gives a message to take revenge on, I forgot whose name.
Right, Shimi Ben-Gera.
Dovid gives his son
Shimi Ben-Gera.
Take revenge on
Shimi Ben-Gera.
Insulted him.
Right, that was Shimi Ben-Gera. Right. Shlomo took care of that.
Yeah.
Right. The Ravag also says that this man is not necessarily from a Malik. Could be just the place where he lived. That's why he's called a Malik. But he wasn't actually a descendant of a Malik. In any case, it's clear that David was not happy with what he did.
Yeah.
And he was allowed to go ahead and punish him. So now David is mourning over Shaul, and he carries out this eulogy. He carries out this eulogy over Shaul and Yonasan, his son. It is time to teach the descendants of Yehuda to use the arrow. Hineksuv al Sefer Yashar. This is brought down in Sefer Yashar. Sefer Yashar is referring to Sefer Bereshis, Genesis. Why is it called Sefer Yashar? Because it discusses the Avos, the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who are Yesharim, who are straight, who are very righteous. That's why it's called Sefer Yashar, the book of the righteous, of the straight people. Why is the time? So in this book of Bereshis, of Genesis, it brings down the bracha of Yehuda. Yadcha b'ayref ayvecha. Your hand will be in the back of your enemy. Now, what is this referring to? It's obviously not referring to a sword. A sword is used in face-to-face combat. You don't stab someone usually in the back with a sword. An arrow is something that you usually use to stab a person in the back because they're on the run, they're running away, and the archers usually catch up with the soldiers that are being defeated, that are running away, and they shoot arrows at them. That's why it's referring to this weapon that's sent in a person's back. So why is it time to teach the Bnei Yehuda, the descendants of Yehuda, to use the bow and arrow? Traditionally, that was their weapon. Because since Shaul, a very righteous man, is not here to protect the Jewish people with his merits, therefore the Plishtim are now going to take advantage of that, and we don't have the merit of Shaul being alive to protect the Jewish people anymore. That's why we are now in much more danger, and it's time to teach the descendants of Yehuda to use the bow and arrow to protect the Jewish people. Atzvi Israel alba mesecha cholal eich naflu gibayrim. So David is he's saying, how could it be that such great warriors or managed to be defeated. But it's referring to Alba Masecha, referring to the fact that Shaul was the one to fight the Avodah Zarah, that was the idol worship that was brought through Balmais. And now this very mighty warrior has fallen. Al Tagidu V'Gas, Al Tavasra B'chutz Lis Ashkelon, don't advertise the news in Gas, which is the capital city of Plishtim, or in Ashkelon, which is also the city of the Plishtim. Pen Tismachta B'nais Plishtim, Pen Taloizna B'nais Ha'arelim. We do not want the women, the girls of the Plishtim to be happy. I don't want it to be a public anything public amongst our enemies, because now it's going to be obvious and clear that Hashem left the Jewish people. He does not have the divine providence of the Jewish people, the Ashgacha Pratis, and therefore we don't want our enemies to know this, and they're going to use the opportunity to attack the Jewish people. Hareva Gilboya Al Talam Al Matar. Since Shaul and Yonasan were defeated in the mountains of Gilboa, David is now cursing these mountains and saying that no dew and no rain should fall on these mountains. And since no rain and no dew will fall on these mountains, you will not be able to do the mitzvah of truma. You can't bring any truma from any fruits or vegetables from these mountains. Because this is where Shaul, the great warrior, was defeated. He did not have the protection that warriors usually have. The way the custom was that warriors, when they went out to war, they covered their shield in oil, because they wanted to protect themselves from the arrows of the enemy, and when the enemy would send arrows onto the shield, if it was covered in oil, it would slip off the shield. And Shaul did not have this protection. That was partially why he was defeated in war. It seems like the weapon of choice for Yohanan was a bow and arrow. That's what he used to use. We remember back when David was running away from Shaul, the sign that Yohanan and David used to show David that Shaul was actually upset with him was the bow and arrow. Yonasan went out to the field, he took out his bow and arrow, and depending on what exactly he would do, how far he would shoot the arrow, and what he would tell his servant, was going to be a sign to David, either Shaul has nothing against him, does not want to kill him, or if in fact Shaul does have something against him and he wants to pursue David. That was the sign that Yonasan and David used. So we see back then that this was Yonasan's skill. It seems like Shaul himself was very skilled in using a sword. So Yonasan used to use a bow and arrow, and Shaul used to use a sword. Shaul and Yonasan were loved, and they beautified their ways during their life. They were very righteous people, and also when they passed away, they were continuing to do the same thing. They were lighter than eagles. Rashi says that's referring to Lasis Ratzin Bayram. They were lighter than eagles in doing the will of Hashem. Ma'arayos Gavir, they were more mighty than lions. The Malbim brings down, these are the two signs for a very powerful warrior, is to be light like an eagle, and more powerful and mighty than a lion. B'nais Yisrael, El Shaul B'chena. I want the women of the Jewish people to cry over Shaul, over the death of Shaul. Hamalbishchem Shani im Adonim, Amale Adizav al Levushchem. Traditionally, Shaul, anytime he would go out to war, he would take the spoils of war and he would give it out to the Jewish women when he would come back victorious. He would give them out, he would give gold and silver to the men, he would give out all this jewelry to the women. So he's now telling them, since Shaul is not going to be able to do that anymore, so you should cry over the death of Shaul. He used to give you jewelry anytime you came back from war, and he used to give you these very expensive and valued cloaks made out of silk. How did these very powerful warriors die, be defeated at war? Yoinasan al b'masecha cholal. He was. How could you be defeated on a bama, on a mizbeach, so to speak? Tzali alecha achi Yoinasan. Now he's giving a personal eulogy to Yoinasan. He's saying, I'm so distraught over the fact that Yoinasan passed away. Na'am tilim ma'oid. Our friendship was meant a lot to me. Niflasa havas chali mehavas nashim. Your love to me was more powerful than the love of women. What does that mean? The simple pshat means that literally the love of women is obviously very, very, very strong. When a person loves a woman, it's a very, very, very close bond. And David is now saying that the way he loved Yonasan was a greater love than a man loves his wife. Second shot is that he's actually referring to his own wives. He's saying that my own wives, Achinoam Israelis, and Avigail, the wife of Nabal, Carmeli, my love to you, Yonasan, is greater than the love that I loved my wives. That's how much David and Yonasan were close. A third pshat that our doc brings down is that women, when they love someone, their love is very powerful and potent. Because women are so emotional, their emotions are so strong towards the person they love, it's considered to be the highest form of love. And now David is saying that, Yonasan, I love you more than even a woman loves somebody, either it's her husband or her children. More than a woman would naturally love someone, my love to you is more powerful than that one. And the Malbim brings down a fourth pshat, which is very interesting, is that a person usually loves one of three things. Either something that he enjoys, like he enjoys a good meal, so, you know, a good steak, so you say, you know, I really love steak, right? Something that you enjoy, you love, or something that you actually get a benefit out of, you love that as well. A person who benefits you, helps you out, either financially or supports you, you love that person. A third love is when you recognize the goodness of something or someone, that's the highest level of love. And what David is telling Yonasan is that the love that I have to you encompasses all these three types of love. First of all, I loved you because I got a lot of benefit from our friendship. You supported me, you helped me out when I was running away from Shaul. And it was also very pleasurable to be so close to you, to be friends with you. And third of all, my love to you was so strong because I recognized the good in you, in Yonasan. I recognized the high level of righteousness that you are on. And that's why my love to you is more powerful than what people normally love, because it encompasses all three things in one friendship. Final eulogy that David is carrying out over Shaul and Yonasan. How could such powerful warriors, such righteous people, fall in war? We're going to see next week how David actually becomes king, and we'll see exactly how it takes place. Okay, we'll stop here.